reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 21, Instructions by Maharaj Prithu, verse number 31. Yatpa seva viruchi tapasvinam. अशेष जन्मोपचितं मलं दिय सद्य श्नोति अन्वहं एदति सति यथा पदांगुष्ट विनिष्ट सरित यत्पाद सेवा विरुचि तपस्विना अशेष जन्मोपचितं मलं दिय सद्य श्नोति अन्वहं एदति सति यथा पदांगुष्ट विनिश्रित सरीत यत्पा सेवा विरुचि तपस्विना शेष जन्म पचितं मलं दिय सद्य शिनोति अन्वहमेदति सति यथा पदांगुष्ट विनिश्रित शरीर यत्पा सेवा विरुचि तपस्विनाम् यथा पदांगुष्ट विनिश्रित शरीर सेवा विरुचि तपस्विना शेष जन्मोपचितं मलं दिय सद्य श्नोति अन्वहमेदति सति सेवा विरुचि तपस्विनाम् शेष जन्मोपचितं मलं दिय सद्य श्नोति अन्वहमेदति सति तथा पदांगुष्ट विनिश्रित शरीर यत्पाद सेवा विरुचि तपस्विनाम् शेष जन्मोपचितं मलं दिय श्नोति अन्वहमेदति सति ता पदांगुष्टमिश्रिता सरी माताजि यत्पाद हुज लोटस फीट सेवा सर्विस अभिरुचि इंक्लिनेशन तपस्विनाम पर्सन्स अंडरगोइंग सीवियर पेनेंसेस अशेष इन्यूमरेबल जन्म बर्थ उपचितम acquire malam dirtiness dhiya mind sadhya immediately sinoti destroys anvaham day after day edati increasing. Sati, being. Yatha, as. Pad Angushta, the toes of his lotus feet. Vinishrita, emanating from. Sari, water. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. By the inclination to serve the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, suffering humanity can immediately cleanse in the dirt which has accumulated in their minds during innumerable births. Like the Ganges water which emanates from the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord, such a process immediately cleanses the mind, and the spiritual or Krishna consciousness gradually increases. Purport. In India, one can actually see that a person who takes a bath in the Ganges waters daily is almost free from all kinds of diseases. A very respectable Brahmana in Calcutta never took a doctor's medicine. Even although he sometimes felt sick, he would not accept medicine from the physician, but would simply drink Ganges water, and he was always cured within a very short time. The glories of Ganges water are known to Indians and to ourselves also. The river Ganges flows by Calcutta. Sometimes, within the water, there are many stools and other dirty things which are washed away from neighboring mills and factories. But still thousands of men take baths in the Ganges water, and they are very healthy as well as spiritually inclined. That is the effect of Ganges water. The Ganges is glorified because it emanates from the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord. Similarly, if one takes to the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, or takes to Krishna consciousness, he is immediately cleansed of the many dirty things which have accumulated in his innumerable births. We have seen that in spite of the very black record of their past lives, persons who take to Krishna consciousness become perfectly cleansed of all dirty things and make spiritual progress very swiftly. Therefore, Prithu Maharaj advises that without the benediction of the Supreme Lord, one cannot make advancement, either in the so-called morality, economic development, or sense gratification. One should therefore take to the service of the Lord or Krishna consciousness and thus very soon become a perfect man, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Shipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat chantim nigachati. Being a responsible king, Prithu Maharaj recommends that everyone take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus be immediately purified. Lord Shri Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita that simply by surrendering unto Him, one is immediately relieved of all sinful reactions. As Krishna takes away all the sinful reactions of a person immediately upon his surrender unto Him, similarly the external manifestation of Krishna, the representative of Krishna, who acts as the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, takes all the resultant actions of the sinful life of the disciple immediately after the disciple's initiation. Thus, if the disciple follows the principles instructed by the spiritual master, he remains purified and is not contaminated by the material infection. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore stated that the spiritual master who plays the part of Krishna's representative has to consume all the sinful reactions of his disciple. Sometimes the spiritual master takes the risk of being overwhelmed by the sinful reactions of the disciples and undergoes a sort of tribulation due to their acceptance. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised that one not accept many disciples. Om Agyantimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 21, Verse Number 31. Translation. By the inclination to serve the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, suffering humanity can immediately cleanse the dirt which has accumulated in their minds during innumerable births. Like the Ganges water which emanates from the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord, such a process immediately cleanses the mind, and the spiritual or Krishna consciousness gradually increases. This verse we are reading is spoken by Prithu Maharaj to his subjects. King Prithu, he is addressing his subjects and giving them success formula. He is expressing to them that how a living entity in this world can become successful, can fulfill his desires, can accomplish his goal. So in these few verses, he is giving these very valuable instructions. Herein, King Prithu, he explains that the process of devotional service or the process of Krishna consciousness, which means engagement in the service of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Lord Sri Krishna, that process is purifying. By practicing this process, one's heart becomes purified. And he gives the example of Mother Ganga, the water of Ganges. Just like when a person, whoever he may be, if he takes bath in Ganges water, then he gets purified. These impurities which are there in one's heart are result of sinful activities. So because of past sinful activities, there are sinful reactions which a person has to accept. They come in the form of punishment, in the form of miseries, in the form of distress. And the biggest thing is they come in the form of further desires of sin. So even if a person undergoes punishment, the process doesn't stop. He commits more sinful activities. That is conditioning of this material world. That is how the lower modes of material nature influence a person's consciousness. So such a person, when he comes in contact with Mother Ganga, when he comes in contact with water of Ganges, then he becomes purified. So Prabhupada is here in giving an example of a person whom he knows, who his whole life never took medicines. Any doctors here? He never took medicines. And he always bathed in Mother Ganga. And even if he was ill, he used to get cured in very short time. He had so much faith. And of course in India, those who go to pilgrimage places, Haridwar, Mayapur, where Mother Ganga is flowing, or those who stay there, they definitely take baths. So the purifying power of Ganges water is very famous. And those who are intelligent, those who are spiritually inclined, they will continue to take bath in Ganges even if the Ganges water appears to be dirty. Nowadays there is lots of dirt coming out of industries, factories, mills, houses, and so many people, they pollute. They contaminate the river. But actually, the potency, the power, the spiritual effect of the Ganges water on a person doesn't decrease. So in other words, the river actually doesn't get polluted. The value does not decrease. So even if the waters appear to be dirty, still we should understand that the water of Ganges is purifying. So a devotee should have that faith, should have this understanding, and he should worship Mother Ganga, should pay his obeisances, he should offer his services, and he should take baths. In fact, this particular attitude should be there for everything in spiritual life. The external appearance of spiritual paraphernalia should not be used to judge the value of spiritual objects. For example, the flower offered to Lord Krishna, or bhoga offered to Lord Krishna. So, for a period of time, there are material transformations in these offerings. But a devotee should respect them as he respects them when they are fresh. Because the time element does not have effect on the spiritual value of these offerings. Definitely there are transformations, and definitely we are conditioned so much so that we cannot very easily accept an old Mahaprasad, many days kept. It may look fermented, decayed, damaged, but the spiritual value is intact. Just imagine, I have a 500 rupee note. Anybody has it here? 500 or 100? Volunteer? One minute. I'll give you receipt later. So this note from Reserve Bank of India, we give a value 100. Now suppose somebody in a very playful mood makes a nice pipe out of it. So will you call this a pipe or still 100? Still 100. It doesn't matter what is the shape, what is the appearance or whatever it is. Now this is such a small, tiny, but still it is 100. Still we will pick it up. Or if I just try to make it in irregular shape, still the value is same. The external appearance is rejected immediately. The external appearance is not accepted. The value is accepted. This is 100 rupees. In the same way, coming in contact with spiritual objects, coming in contact with the waters of Ganges or Yamuna, one should not see these external appearances, the color of the water, the temperature of the waters, or the amount of dirt. Last time it was white, now it is little dark, brownish. Or the dust of Vrindavan Dham, Mayapur Dham. Is it really brush or imported from somewhere? We should understand that the spiritual value is always intact. And this goes on in our association with devotees. One should not see devotees from external viewpoint. It is considered offensive. If this 100 rupee note is black or yellow or continues to be blue, the value is same. So one should not see the skin color of a devotee, white or black. Western devotee, Indian devotee. Devotees are devotees. Male devotee, female devotee. Of course, there are varnashram in such a mass society. There are principles of varnashram which needs to be active. But our respects for Vaishnava should be same. We should not differentiate based on caste, creed, nation, color, skin color, language, or sex, or literate, illiterate, it's like that, or anything. If we do that, then that is considered offensive. Hypothetically, if Hanumanji comes here, we cannot say, oh, he's monkey, he's not as Vaishnava to be associated. Or Sukhdev Goswami comes here, if we take the same intelligence, we'll say, oh, he's naked. Security, bhagao. Or at that time, Prahlad Maharaj, 5-year-old boy, So of course these are exceptions. But one person needs to be broad, so that in his consciousness he can accommodate all varieties of external features. This reminds me of an episode in Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita, in which once Gadadhar Pandit visited Pundraka Vidyanidhi Prabhu. Once Mukundji, he told Gadadhar Pandit that, "You come with me, I will take to a very nice Vaishnava. He is very great devotee." So Sri Gadadhar Pandit was very happy and enthusiastic to go. So they arrived at Pundraka Vidyanidhi's house, and the scene there made Gadadhar Pandit doubt the status of Pundraka Vidyanidhi, who was sitting in a very opulent room, wearing very opulent clothes, on a very opulent seat, having two servants attending him, fanning him, few servants waiting for him, and you know, so many opulent foodstuffs were there, and golden utensils and all. It just looked like a filthy rich person, sense gratifier, materialist. So in his heart, Gadadhar Pandit got this thought, that is he Vaishnava? He is residing in such an opulent condition with so many sense objects and servants, luxury. So he got this doubt. Sensing this, Mukunda, he started singing a very nice verse about the mercy of Lord Krishna. As soon as Pundraka Vidyanidhi heard the glories of Krishna, just by that sound, he went into ecstasy. He was already imbued with love of Godhead. So much so that in his ecstasy he started jumping, he started rolling on the ground, he broke all the furniture, he threw all the utensils, he tore all his clothes, and there were tears like rain coming from his eyes. All the eight symptoms of ecstasy of Krishna prem were visible on his body. Seeing this, Gadadhar Pandit could understand that he is such a great devotee, and I did an offense by thinking negatively about him. So in fact, when we read Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita, we see so many devotees having completely different external character, having completely different external activities. Somebody is just an ordinary physician, somebody is ordinary householder, somebody is a brahmachari, babaji, grahastha, sannyasi, and so many different types. Externally they all are different, but they all are pure devotees, pure associates of the Lord. They may act in a way which we don't understand as devotional service. Like imagine 500 years before, some devotees going to Vrindavan, and they go on Dwadas Tila, and they see one Babaji sitting under a tree, and one deity of Krishna crying for prasad, asking Babaji, give me food. And Babaji says, I don't have time. What will we think? Oh, see this Vrindavan Babaji's. We saw Radha Rasbihari so nicely. We give 8 times offering to Radha Rasbihari. This Vrindavan Babaji's, they don't give. But that was Sanatan Goswami. Madan Mohan didn't want to leave his company at that time. So, this external appearances, they always do not give correct judgment. We should not judge people by dress and by address. In this modern Kali Yuga, many people have saffron dress. And many people's address are some matha or temple. But just by the dress and address, though we respect, but they cannot be considered bona fide Vaishnavas. So it is great mercy of the Lord that somehow we come in contact with sadhus or bona fide devotees of the Lord. And with that association, one gets purified. Mother Ganga, whatever the external appearance may be, because Mother Ganga comes, emanates from the lotus feet of the Lord, is always pure. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is description of the advent of Mother Ganga. So Mother Ganga comes from the toes of Lord Vishnu. And that is how those waters purify the entire universe. In the same way, Maharaj Prithu says that the process of devotional service cleanses, purifies the minds of the jivas, the minds of the devotees. Somehow in this conditioning life, birth after birth after birth, we accumulate lots of dirt in our heart. Lots of dirty things, anarthas, unwanted things, they are there in our heart. They are deposited. They accumulate in our godown. And we store them very carefully. This is my wealth. We protect these material desires. The qualities of lower moods, lust, anger, greed, desire for name and fame, wealth, position. We protect this. We cherish these desires. We keep these desires as our goal. So this accumulation is from so many births. So the only way to wash off, to cleanse in this dirt, is by engagement in Krishna consciousness, engagement in devotional service of Lord Krishna. If somebody tries for any other way, he will not be successful. By some ordinary moral values, one cannot purify one's heart. By some economic development, earning lots of money and giving charity to so-called material welfare activities, one cannot purify one's heart. By dry renunciation, searching for some peace in the forest, one cannot purify one's heart. Or by some fasting, some tapasya, or jnana, no. The only process is devotional service, bhakti yoga. other processes or other activities do not purify one's mind. Srila Sukadeva Goswami at one point in Srimad Bhagavatam is explaining to Parikshit Maharaj about the punishment, hellish punishment in hellish planets, and how severe and how distressful the living entity is. So at that time, Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami that how can a living entity be saved from going to hell? He commits sinful activities and is bound to go to hell, but is there any way that he can be saved? That is his compassion. And Sukadeva Goswami answers that yes, if he atones, prayaschit, pap prayaschit, if he atones for his sinful activities, then he will be saved from that punishment. But Parikshit Maharaj, he rejects this answer. He rejects the answer given by his spiritual master. He says, what is the use of this atonement? This is hati snan. He commits a sinful activities, he atones, and he again commits. So this ordinary religious activities do not purify one's heart. If somebody atones for his sinful activities, the sinful reaction may be vanished, but the root, the seed, the desire of committing sin is not vanished. A thief, if he steals some money, he is put into the jail. For a few years, he is inside the cellar, inside the jail. He takes the punishment. But when he comes out, the desire to commit that stealing is still in his heart. That is not vanished. So he again does it. So what is the use of this atonement? So in the same way, if somebody is not practicing Krishna consciousness, the so-called worldly values of morality or ethics are not ones which purify him. The person may look kind, charitable, truthful, honest, humble, nice-looking guy. But actually, if he is not practicing devotional service, this have no value. The actual value is when one surrenders to Krishna. So Prithu Maharaj, being an ideal king, is instructing his citizens to serve Krishna. That is the duty of a Kshatriya or a leader, to make sure that the followers or the dependents are engaged in Krishna's service. In fact, 24 hours a day. That is how a king represents God. He represents Krishna for his praja. So as an ideal king, Prithu Maharaj is very boldly instructing his followers, his citizens, that everybody should practice devotional service. This accumulated dirt in the heart is a source of distress for the living entity. Is a source of committing further sinful activities. Is a source of all the problems in the society. So by the process of devotional service, one becomes purified. That is the first effect of practicing devotional service, that one becomes purified. Once somebody is purified and he continues to be in contact with devotional service, then he develops his natural prema for the Lord. The natural relationship of the living entity with Krishna is that of love and service. But this love is covered by so many dirty things. So it is not naturally blooming or visible. So when the covering is cleaned, when the covering is removed, the natural status of the jiva is visible. And he situates himself into his swarupa or his constitutional position, eternally engaged in loving service of Krishna. So the same instruction Lord Krishna is giving to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, wherein he says to Arjuna that you should abandon all varieties of religion. Sarva dharman parityaja, mam ekam sharanam vraja. That you should abandon all varieties of religion and surrender unto me only. Mam ekam. Ekam means only. Only me. To nobody else. And when one does that, then Krishna delivers him from all the sinful reactions. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo. There are so many sinful reactions. But on surrender, this is immediately gone. And the process to do that is to surrender to an external representative of Krishna, who is a spiritual master. A bona fide spiritual master, he accepts the surrender of the disciple on behalf of Krishna. And this is how the disciple can surrender and receive blessings. A bona fide spiritual master is transparent medium between disciple and Krishna. Transparent means the instructions and blessings of Krishna reach the disciple via the spiritual master. And the surrender and service of the disciple reach Krishna via spiritual master. It is a bridge. He is transparent. So that surrender, that service, when a disciple does under the guidance of spiritual master, then he becomes completely purified. This relationship of surrender is formally committed by a ceremony called initiation or diksha, wherein the disciple expresses his commitment to follow and obey the instructions of Guru, and the Guru willingly takes responsibility of the growth or spiritual advancement of the disciple. So initiation is not just a external ceremony where there is fire sacrifice, there is name change, and there is 2-3 haribols. That is there, but it is an inner commitment to that relationship in which the disciple commits to follow and obey. And that obedience of the disciple, if it continues after that, then the disciple is never materially contaminated. He is considered pure. At the time of initiation, if we see, then at the end, generally one banana is offered in the fire sacrifice. That offering of banana means material life finished in the fire. Everything over. Or previous karma gone. Or sinful activities, reactions gone. Now new life, new birth. That's why new name. So after that, if somebody is not committing any sinful activities, then he is pure person going back home, back to God. So these principles of the Guru, these instructions of the Guru, one has to follow. So this surrender by the jiva at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna via bona fide spiritual master is a process which is recommended by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, recommended by various acharyas, recommended by Prithu Maharaj here. When it is said that one should engage in lotus feet of Krishna, one should engage in devotional service of lotus feet of Krishna, this statement implicitly means that it is under the guidance of a spiritual master. It cannot be otherwise. That is the transcendental parampara system, disciplic succession. Not like Arjuna, he received knowledge direct from Krishna, so I am also waiting Krishna will come on my battlefield and he tell me Bhagavad Gita. This knowledge comes by a disciplic succession, and one who receives from Krishna or one who receives from the disciplic succession, the benefit is same, the instruction is same, and the result is same. So if somebody is waiting that Krishna will come and tell me fight, then I will fight very enthusiastically. It is a good wait, but it may not happen also. So if there are some some representatives of Krishna, and they come and tell us to fight or do service, it is same as Krishna is requesting us. Such a person is representative, and a instruction of a representative is same as instruction of the master, and one should try to participate in that service. So in this way, this process of devotional service purifies us. Srila Prabhupada quotes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, saying that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that one should not accept many disciples. The reason being that sometimes the sinful reactions of the disciples, when they are passed over to Krishna via the spiritual master, create some trouble, either disease or some material tribulation or some disturbed dreams for the spiritual master. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has mentioned that one should not accept many disciples. At the same time, Srila Prabhupada explains that for the benefit of the various living entities, a Vaishnava is so compassionate, a spiritual master is so compassionate, that he is ready to go to hell. He is ready to undergo all sorts of tribulations so that the preaching works expand. So it is the duty of the disciple, one who has taken initiation, that he should not break four regulative principles or avoid chanting minimum number of 16 rounds or do sinful activities. Because that reaction not only disturbs one's spiritual life, but it passes over to the spiritual master in some way and creates a tribulation. Definitely Krishna protects his devotees. Krishna doesn't leave his devotees alone. But that doesn't mean that we have a license to give trouble to devotees. Oh, you have a protector, no problem. Take one more trouble. So one should be very, very responsible of his commitment. The ceremony of initiation means one takes a vow, 5 vows minimum. First is chanting minimum 16 rounds and other 4 or 4 regulative principles, following them whole life. So one should do that. That creates a much better atmosphere in the society. So the mercy, spiritual master is the mercy of the Lord, is considered mercy representative of the Lord. So surrender to such a spiritual master can cleanse the heart of the living entity. Taking shelter at such in such a process can wash away all the contamination in our heart. And a pure heart contains visible Krishna prem, contains love of Godhead, which a devotee can release while in this material world. So as King Prithu Maharaj says, we should engage ourselves in devotional service, which is very purifying, which cleanses our heart, and gradually advance towards Krishna prem, love of Godhead. Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. If there are any questions, we can discuss. Questions or comments?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
It is agreed, and then we all have faith that if you take bath in Ganges, we will become purified. Our sins are reduced, and spiritually also we become advanced. My question is, in places like Kanpur and all, where so many chemical waste from tanneries and all are flown into Ganges, when we take bath in such places, definitely it is agreed that we will become purified. But are there any chances or that you know we may fall sick? We will not fall sick.
See, there are definitely chances that the that part of river which is not Ganges water, the material elements, the chemicals, will have an effect on our body because of our conditioning. This conditioning on different levels will attract reactions from different sources. In spite of that danger or that risk, when one is visiting, one should take bath. Depends on one's faith. One can have a less duration time there, or somebody can take 3 drops. At least respect that spiritual value which we have. Just like somebody has disease or diabetes and is offered Mahaprasad sweet. So that sweet has spiritual value, and when he eats that, he will get the mercy and the purifying effect of Mahaprasad. But at present, if that devotee's conditioning is such that he has to discriminate, then that will also affect, that sweet will increase his blood sugar also. So he should take little bit. So till that discrimination is there, till that effect will be there. When the discrimination is not there, when Karela and Rasgulla has no difference in our consciousness, when there is no discrimination, then that effect will also not be there. So, even if the principles which we read are similar to the consciousness of a Uttam Adhikari, a Uttama Bhakta, but in following, when we have a lower status, so we will have to behave accordingly. A Uttam Adhikari sees all living entities same, but a Madhyam Adhikari differentiates between innocent and envious, and hence he behaves differently with them. With innocent he shows compassion, and with envious it shows neglect. So he cannot artificially try to behave like Uttama. So in the same way, in all cases when there is discrimination, then a devotee should not disrespect, but as per the discrimination, respect the spiritual value of objects and dhams. That is my understanding. Yeah.
Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Suppose a devotee has mentally accepted a particular spiritual master as his guru for the purpose of initiation, but the spiritual master doesn't want to initiate the devotee. So what he should do?
He should try. Should try to please the spiritual master. I mean, he is allowed to initiate. He should try to please the spiritual master by his service.
But a spiritual master doesn't want to add one more disciple to his list because he doesn't want to make many disciples.
So he should try. The first thing is that he should try to please him. If the prospective disciple is very sincere, the spiritual master will be compassionate. Everybody wants a good disciple.
Prabhu, suppose just like Ekalavya did, he worships him mentally and keeping a photograph or idol of spiritual master, and then he pursues his Krishna consciousness. Will he make progress?
No, he should take permission from the spiritual master. See, there are examples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur who requested Gaur Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj for initiation. And Srila Gaurakrishnadas Babaji Maharaj denied it several times. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur continuously, constantly requested him. So much so that he wanted to give up his life. So then Gaurakrishnadas Babaji Maharaj agreed. There is also an example of Loknath Goswami, who was Narottam Das Thakur. He also requested Loknath Goswami Maharaj. But he didn't want to accept any disciples. So for 1 year, Narottam Das Thakur used to clean the place where daily morning Loknath Goswami Maharaj used to pass stool and all the road and all. And Loknath Goswami Maharaj finally, he gave his mercy. So Krishna will definitely fulfill the desire of a sincere heart. So one should continuously, sincerely pray to Krishna. Okay? Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna. Whose 100 rupees is this?